It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. In our middle studio, we do have Cynthia Haas-Winter. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning.
Do you have an or no?
What? It's not so far.
Not so far, but
we will.
We can't tell. She might come in here.
She might come in. And
we have Janet Manco. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
And how is everybody this morning?
So happy it's warm.
Yeah.
Doesn't it just make all the difference in the world?
You know, so funny. Before I got on the air with Judy Workman, she knows me so well. We were talking about the weather. So she said, did you put your air conditioner on? So I said, yes, I did. Yeah. And she says, isn't it amazing when you get to be 65? The first time it gets warm, you put your air conditioner on. The first time there's the slightest hint of it's going to be cold, you put your heat on.
Yeah, I got my heat on in August, baby.
Amazing. All right, let's go to the page of the Lakeville Journal and... It's a sad story, but it's what happens when you have charges like these, and that's the Indian Mountain School once again facing charges that go back decades, but there's still charges that affect everybody at the school now.
And so I want to say to the readers, this is not an article where we're going through and describing the sexual abuse. No. What we're describing is a legal issue which has come up based on, some incidents that happened between 1979 and 1985, and the statute of limitations is about to run out in 2021 on the last of these possible cases, and this very smart lawyer, whose name is Antonio Ponvert, who's just taken it upon himself to really be the voice of conscience for that school and for the young people who who are accusing a particular teacher and, in some cases, that former headmaster of having improperly behaved with them. He is now presenting them with a different legal tack that could extend the statute of limitations infinitely forward, possibly into perpetuity. So this is a very bold move on this attorney's part, and I won't try to explain it. It's complex, but it's explained in the article. And there's a very good response from Jody Soja, who was not at the school and in the years, of course, obviously, that this all was happening, but this is quite a big deal and could have a huge impact on Indian Mountain School.
Well, the long-range future, absolutely. And like you said, it's too complicated to talk about. Read the story and get more information on it that way.
And keep in mind that this attorney, Antonio Ponvert, is the one who brought the lawsuit against the Hotchka School for the girl who, before she'd even started as a student there, was bit by a tick, got a very bad case of Lyme disease. The school acted pretty responsibly to get her airlifted to Beijing. She was in China on a school trip. And nonetheless, the school was successfully sued for $41 million and successfully retried in appeal. And so this is a guy that has some skills as an attorney, and it'll be interesting to see what happens here.
All right. Now, on a slightly brighter note, on a much more brighter note.
Quite a bit.
A nice story about Alice Yoakum.
And what a beautiful photo that Alexander Wilburn took of her. I've known Alice for many years. I'm very close to her. And I'd never realized quite how blue her eyes are until I looked at this photo. And Alice, who's just the funniest, loveliest person and has done so much for so many nonprofits in the area, is being honored by the Housatonic Youth Service Bureau with the Donald T. Warner Award for people who have really gone above and beyond. And just read the article that Alex wrote. Alex, who then subsequently got stomach flu for 2 days, just wrote the funniest, cutest article, and Alice very quippy and saying wonderful things, as we expect her to do.
Right under that, a story on the legacy of Martin Luther King by Shaw Isaacson.
So here it is, May, and of course we tend to think of January as the time when we think of Martin Luther King, but this is 50 years after his death in 1968 in April, Northwestern Connecticut Community College in Winsted had a very impressive program on not only Dr. King and his legacy, which, of course, we think of civil rights, but also, just a reminder, he did so many things on so many fronts. And as one of the speakers said, you know, it diminishes his memory when we don't remember all the great things that he did. So very interesting article from Shaw Isaacson.
All right. Another interesting article, which follows up on a video, an audio clip, which I've been playing for a lot for the past 2 weeks, the All Boards Chair Committee, Region 1 Board of Education, about the role of the superintendent and how the superintendent is trying to change it and they're trying to adapt it.
A lot of very subtle things that you have to look at carefully in this article. This is an article that really deserves a close look. by Patrick Sullivan. The All Boards chairs is the chairman of the 6 Region 1 elementary schools, plus the chairman of the Region 1 Board of Education, which mostly covers the high school. Talking about Pam Vogel, the superintendent, who, you know, as we're going into this budget fight, there's a lot of pushback on some things that she's done and hasn't, in many people's opinion, hasn't fully persuaded the region. And essentially what they're doing is, is she's trying to expand even further her control of the curriculum. So people need to think about this and maybe start attending these meetings and express an opinion, which is a very productive way, I would say, in my opinion, more productive than voting down the budget, to remind those boards that people are paying attention and that they don't necessarily want this to happen, but if that's the way they feel.
The problem with that, and I'd agree with you 100% on that, is that now more and more of these agendas are consent agendas, where the things that can be talked about are already put into a, you have to really, really know what's going on at these meetings that have consent agendas to follow it.
If enough people show up, they will have a voice. And also, it's slightly disturbing that the attorney in this situation is sort of talking about ways to keep the public and the press from being able to comment. That was very discouraging.
That's amazing. Outliers.
Yeah, very discouraging.
Things. All right. So that, but read that story. It explains a lot. It's interesting. Right below it, you talk about a world view, what the world and what our country is going to be like, the Salisbury Forum.
Yes, you know, the world is changing very fast, and you have to pay attention. And an extraordinarily good Salisbury Forum, Janet attended it with Ray Suarez from PBS NPR, and really talking about, you know, it's the day of the white male dominance has ended, and not making a judgment on it one way or another, but he's saying, like, you know, you kind of need to pay attention and realize that this is what's happening and that the world is looking different now than it did, and be ready for it.
I never was a participant in that.
The white male world, yeah.
I missed
me
the
either.
I missed the boat.
Yeah, I think, yeah. We're all in that club.
Yeah. I just picked up the funniest book at the transfer station by Garrison Keillor called The Story of Guys, and it's all about this, the change. He wrote it in 1993. So.
All right. I want to go on to page A3, and this is great. The students of Bard College at Music Mountain in Falls Village for children.
This is an annual tradition, and Nick Gordon, the wonderful, recently deceased head of Music Mountain, had been such an important part of his mission at Music Mountain is to make sure that children had a chance to come there, be exposed to classical music, and see that it's fun. And so, of course, would have students there because they're not as intimidating as a lot of, you know, grown-ups. And Bard students, of course, very talented, and they would answer questions, and of course the kids always ask the funniest questions, and then because these kids are students, they answer them in a way that probably an older adult might not. So this was the first year when Nick wasn't there with his beautiful dog to introduce the quartet, and so, you know, very kind of meaningful and moving this particular year.
This next story is an amazing story, and it's a good story. We have been since we announced that we're going to have a frequency that serves Kent, they've asked us to start covering the Kent Board of Education meetings, which we have.
The rebel army.
And what we've seen is
extraordinary board.
They are what local boards should be. They are very independent, strong board.
Very strong, very impressive board. And actually, you know, had some issues with their representative to Region 1, who is no longer the representative to Region 1 for them. And Marty Lindemeyer, ex-Army guy, very smart, very local, very committed, and really kind of saying, you know, there's a lot of teachers on the board at public schools and private schools, and they're kind of saying, we're not really comfortable with what's happening at central office, and we're really fully exploring our rights to stand up and sort of say, this is not how we want to run our school. And very importantly saying, our principal is about to retire, and we are not just going to rubber stamp the choice of the central office in choosing who our principal is. And this is it's going to be a very interesting year to watch the Kent board.
It is. And whether – the great thing about strong local boards, and most people don't realize, the boards of education can opt out of the superintendent and hire their own superintendent for their local school.
Yeah. They can do a lot.
The local boards of education.
They're discussing that.
Yeah, it's absolutely, you absolutely can do that. So it's interesting to watch this. And
of course, that would be expensive. Let's just all be clear on that. That would be murky and expensive and complex.
Murky and expensive, but if you like to retain control, that's a route you can go.
Certainly,
it's not impossible. And this is a town that's very cohesive. And, you know, the first electman there worked at that elementary school for his entire career and is now first electman. So, you know, this town is a town where people really stay involved and care about the whole fabric of the community.
All right. We've got Sharon budget moving to a May 11th vote.
That's right. And, of course, everybody's discussing what happens if the budget does get voted down May 8th. But because the Region 1 budget can only be reduced if it is voted down, the towns can still go ahead with their town meeting votes, but they will be sprinkled throughout the month of May.
And, by the way, if will people forget one of the 7 budget defeats years ago, the budget can stay the same. You can submit the same budget. But it doesn't have to go down, but it can never
go
it
up.
Can't go up. It can't go up. Now we'll go to another story by Shaw, and the town possibly posting legal info only online. I think that's something that probably should wait for a little bit because not everybody is online.
So what they're saying is they're about to go through all of their ordinances. I think they said 169. I guess one for every town in Connecticut, and for them to publish each change that they make in the paper, they're saying if it costs them up to $600, which, of course, they should just put them all in the Lakeville Journal because it's more reasonable. But I'll let Janet talk about that in a minute. But, you know, one of the reasons that local papers exist is so that people can print these legal notices in a way that everybody can see them. So the town of Winsted, because they're about to do this renovation of their 169 legals, they're saying that would be too expensive for us to do it. It would stop us from updating our regulations. So let's make an ordinance that says we can just post them online and say you can come to town hall and see it. And of course, many towns do say, you know, we're not going to publish the whole thing. And we were surprised. You know, I was surprised. Janet was not surprised. But last week we published the Winsted budget as illegal, which surprised me. But so Janet, I know this is very important to you. So do you want to weigh in on legals and the newspapers?
Well, sure. You know, the state still does mandate that these legals have to be available and open to the public, and newspapers are often the way to do that. The dailies charge more than we do as weeklies, but when a community uses a newspaper, that's really a good way to reach everybody in that, as Marshall said, not everybody has access to online or thinks to go online to the town website to look for any changes that are happening. So, you know, if people are reluctant to go to meetings, then, you know, except for those few people who are very engaged, the general population is not going to go and look carefully at the website to see what they can find. And these are changes that affect our lives, and it's very important to get it out there for the communities.
All right. With that being said, I want to move on to the story because Kent has their public budget hearing on May 4th.
Which is Friday tomorrow.
Yeah.
North Canaan had theirs last night. It took 15 minutes. So we are moving forward with all our budgets. Winsted's going to May 14th. I just want to point out, on these next three pages, A4, A5, and A6, is essentially one story. And, you know, people haven't been, I would say, super, super thrilled that we're covering Winsted, but something very interesting is going on there, and you have to kind of pay attention. And these three stories all combine to be this picture of an industrial town that is working very hard to pull itself up out of a very dark, dormant period of, I would venture to say, 50, 60 years. And you have all of these crumbling factory buildings, and there are three stories on these three pages about these old factories that are being renovated, upgraded, and turning into something very new and interesting. So you've got the Lambert K building, which used to make Pat accessories and has been abandoned. It's been the subject of a lot of very extended, complex conversation in that town. A little bit of a brownfield there, and a company has now stepped in, and they're renaming it the Winsted Edgeworks, and they're about to start a massive renovation of, like, of what is, there's a truck going by honking. Thank you.
in support of us.
Yeah, going to Winstead. He's like, yeah, more Winstead. And then
on the way, right.
Then on the next page, you have a story about this building called the Capital Products Building. And again, you know, a very big industrial space that has been in the middle of this sort of power struggle in among the town and town residents and building owners. The building owner used to be a selectman. And then on the third page, you've got the Whiting Mills, which again was, you know, is part of a complex of industrial buildings and probably the most advanced of all these projects so far, which has, you know, really nice residences, really beautiful artist spaces, and of course is on the same property as the American Mural Project, which is part of that sort of same building. So it's a very interesting time to watch Winstead and be thinking about how, like, I would say even a couple years ago, it didn't look that upbeat for them. But right now, there's just a lot of forward movement. And
I have one word.
Be some great things.
I have one word.
Loft.
No, Mass Mocha.
Mass Mocha. Hello.
That's right.
Hello.
Yeah.
That's two words. But
not
okay.
Really.
Okay.
I was trying to figure
yes.
out what the, is it one or two?
I think the word you're saying is yes, actually. That's one word.
Right.
But very interesting time. Definitely. People need to pay attention.
Yeah, and North Adams and Winstead have a lot in common. You're right, Jill. And Winstead has taken steps forward over these years, but this really does seem to be a time where things are coming together. And the Lambert K building, especially after 16 years of the town owning it and not being able to find anybody who would do anything with it, this is a big change.
For people that don't remember, Winstead's downfall started with the big flood.
Right, 1955.
55, when people think, when they newcomers go through Winstead and they see half of buildings and the other half a river, well, on the other half there used to be buildings.
Yeah,
right.
There used to be a regular, you know, downtown strip.
This is the benefit of context, and this, by the way, is why you read the paper.
Yeah. Thank you.
What I wanted to say just very briefly about online is you have to know what you're looking for online.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if you don't go there automatically, then you've got it's a catch-22.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go to the, once again, Patrick Sullivan, fly fishing.
The funniest story ever. So of course Trout Unlimited, they just have, you know, they've got Patrick on a lure and love him. And Patrick, of course, is very independent, very, very independent. But he went out to the Trout Unlimited event on the Salmon Kill, which Trout Unlimited, thank you very much, has been doing a great job of trying to restore. And Rick Cantelli from Salisbury Bank and Trust came out and took a fly fishing lesson with the kids. And so Patrick sort of zeroed in on that. And it's a very funny little article.
All right. Just a note, services, a celebration for Nick Gordon will happen on Sunday, May 20th at 3 o'clock at Gordon Hall.
That's right.
The public is invited to attend, and there will be a reception afterwards.
It should be beautiful. There's so much going on this weekend. Also, we had word that Walter Kane, the beloved science teacher at the Marvelwood School, passed away this weekend. And also Aaron Manderbach, who was a clergyman who was involved in, it feels like almost every single church in this area, passed away at 105.
All right, we will move on to the opinion and viewpoint pages, the editorial on the Salisbury Forum, which really has, right from the get-go, right out of the gate, become an important part of our lives.
That's right. We thought it was time to bring this to our own attention and to everybody else's. You know, we take things for granted too much when they just sort of happen, but the Salisbury Forum is a local treasure, and it's been bringing speakers into this area for 13 years now. And, you know, if you look back at old Lakeville journals, you'll see references, you know, articles about Salisbury forums that happened back then as well. And it was just this kind of thing, speakers coming in. So there's a long legacy of that in Salisbury, and the forum is continuing that. We thought after the Ray Suarez talk, it was a good time to bring it up. He had a discussion about something that we need to think about in this area, and we need to think about globally as well and nationally. So thanks to Salisbury Forum, we talk about other speakers they brought in, and people from all over the region should not hesitate to come in for any of their programs.
All right. On the page, of course, there are pro-Region 1 budget letters, anti-Region 1 budget letters, and also on the viewpoint page, a guest commentary by Pam Vogel and a guest commentary by Denise Cohen.
That's right. It's interesting because, you know, we don't solicit letters, and we just sort of take them as they come, and I confirm them with everybody just so everybody remembers that. I call you and or contact you in some way if I receive your letter, and we have a pretty even balance and a pretty good discussion on the pros and cons of voting yes or no for this Region 1 budget. So read these articles carefully, and the columns and the letters. We have a letter from one of the Kent board members. You were talking about how great that board is, Rob Ober in Kent, and Jonathan Moore, who was on the vote yes side, Marshall Miles, we have a letter from. He says vote no. The two columns, the one by Superintendent Pam Vogel and Denise Cohn, who's a very active parent in opposing the budget and, you know, the grading system and the structure at the high school, they both wrote pretty long, and we wanted to give them their say. And so I think they've gotten everything they wanted to out there in a very careful way, and this is a good way to look at two sides of it.
Absolutely. So this is what local papers are all about, folks, and local information. Some of you might not consider it news, but it is, and this is what a local paper delivers and what a local community needs.
Well, it's news if you care about your community
That's exactly where you live.
If you don't care about your community and where you live, then nothing matters.
As far as anything local happening,
and suddenly your main street will be empty and you won't know what happened. But, if you want to remain engaged and see what your neighbors are doing and thinking and how they're educating their kids and how they're planning to spend your taxpayer money, do keep track of what we cover and what all our local media covers every week.
All right. Now, when we go at Compass and you talk about the Avengers, They better not kill off Morton Downey. They better not kill off Iron Man. I'll be really upset.
Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey.
Right.
I mean, I really love.
He's everybody's favorite. But you know what? Everybody loved Loki too. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Who don't you love? So really, you know.
Okay. So Superheroes Redux again. Very funny headline from Leon Graham. Leon, who's so cultural, loves popular fiction and popular movies and music. So he liked Avengers. Infinity War, but it feels maybe it's a little long, but there's a lot of information in here about not just this particular movie, but about the franchise and its future.
And the prequel, the sequel,
and about what the future holds. And of course, this movie is getting a ton of media attention. It's a very big movie if you're into this at all. So definitely read that article. And then a very funny story from Marston Epworth, who is quite petite and you wouldn't know it, but she's big jock. Marston is just a big workout bunny, and very funny story that's essentially about the Gear YMCA, but specifically about the boxing class there, the kickboxing class, which her article definitely made me want to go and take boxing as I spend more and more of my day at Gear. Pretty soon I'm going to need my own room. Wiley Wood, who lives in Norfolk and is just a super brilliant guy and wonderful and very outdoorsy, and we're lucky to have him taking time off from Norfolk Now, their excellent quarterly that he does so much for, and writing about life outdoors. And so he's talking about a day trip he took on the Appalachian Trail, a walk between Salisbury and Falls Village, a very poetic, beautifully written article about some of the things that he sees and that one can find. I have to say that even though I spend a lot of time in that neighborhood, I wasn't quite sure where the hike begins, but I think somebody more clever than I can figure that out. And then Leon Graham reviewing a show at my friend Henry's Thoree Institute in Millerton, where there's a very nice show going on. And in the barn, which is distressingly chilly right now because it's been such a cool spring. But it's work by Moira Kelly, who is a very, very respected furniture restorer over here. And Leon points out that a lot of her artwork also reflects her work as a restorer, where she's doing layers and layers and layers and adding a lot of complexity. Sarah Nesbitt, whose work I personally love, she does riffs on the classic toile de jouy patterns, which, you know, I didn't know this till I interviewed Sarah, but there's a finite number of toile patterns. It's like a code, and she takes them and she breaks them up and does this very sort of mind-bending things with them. Thomas Foster, I believe, who's got a very interesting viewpoint. He's been having vision problems, and his art reflects that. And Oh, and Serge Medikian from Cervant. I love his work. I would say Leanne doesn't even fully describe the beauty of Serge's work. If you're on Instagram at all, you've seen it. He's a very talented photographer.
I just want to know
he's a very talented
pilot. I want to know who cooks for the potluck because
he
I know.
Didn't, he didn't. I asked that. I said Henry, so did Serge cook for the potluck? And he said no because, of course, it was a Saturday. He had to go to the restaurant. He said he brought some kind of a barley salad or something. But Henry is an incredible cook. So
I was going to say, Henry's not going to let anybody cook for that.
Yeah. No, there's always a ton of food. And Henry always makes his famous barbecue chicken. But as the summer goes, you know, if you want some good eating, come to a Re-Institute opening.
All right. I'll speak to you guys next week.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Thanks a lot.
All right. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robinhood Radio. And, of course, it is every Thursday, and you can hear it online at robinhoodradio.com.